Well, hello, everybody. Once again, it's time for that classic rock show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP. The Mighty, yes, I said The Mighty, 101.5 FM. I'm one of your co-hosts, Jim Samaria.
And I'm co-host Mark Plotnick. As we do each week, Jim and I bring you music, backstories, and interviews spanning the most prolific era for rock and roll music.
Mark and I are the authors of the book, Classic Rock, Photographs from Yesterday and Today, which, by the way, is available on Amazon and at Kiss the Sky Records in Batavia, Illinois. The book features my exclusive photography of classic rock artists from 1973 to present day with words by that rock and roll wordsmith, the one, the only, Mr. Mark Plotnick.
Thank you, Jim.
You're welcome, Mark.
Today, we are highlighting some of the artists that were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame on Saturday, October 30th, 2021, in Cleveland, Ohio.
Music fans love to debate who should and should not be in the hall, but there is a voting system in place. Musicians become eligible for induction 25 years after the release of their first recording. Among the considerations are an artist's musical influence, length and depth of career, body of work, innovation, and superiority in style and technique. And then there's the question of who does the voting. Mark and I were very lucky to have visited the Rock and Roll Museum a couple of years ago when our book was accepted into the library and archive section of the hall. Mark, that was one of the days, I would say it's one of the best days of our rock and roll lives, except, of course, this radio show working with the great, unbelievable, wonderful, talented producer, Jim Eggers.
Jim Eggers, to my right and right in front of you. Okay.
Yes. Hi, Jim Eggers.
All of that is true, all of it. I highly recommend that every music fan spend a day or two at the Cleveland Museum.
Yeah, it's a very family-friendly and popular destination for school field trips. Well, anyway, let's start the show. But first, a quick trivia question to you, Mark. Can you name the first 10 original inductees into the Hall of Fame?
I think there are only 5 original inductees. Let me think. Babe Ruth, Ty Cobb, Walter Johnson, Honus Wagner, and Christy Mathewson.
No. That's baseball. That's baseball. I'm talking about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh, this is a music show. Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Well, here's where my trusty Sits and Siri makes me look smart. Let me give it a few clicks here and blah, 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 blah. Okay, I got Buddy Holly, Chuck Berry, Elvis, Fats Domino, James Brown, Jerry Lee Lewis, Little Richard, and Ray Charles.
Not too bad. Series off, though. There's 2 more,
really?
And they both have Chicago connections. Can you name them?
Well, I think I need a larger iPhone because my eyesight's going. But I think I missed the great Sam Cooke and the Everly Brothers, right?
Well, congratulations.
Okay. Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah,
okay.
You won. You get a free trip, all expense paid, to Huntley, Illinois.
Good. Give me the gas money to the studio.
Yeah, I will.
Okay. Time to get serious, Jim. Today's show will focus on 8 of this year's honorees. We have the performer category with Tina Turner, Carole King, The Go-Go's, and Todd Rundgren.
And then the remaining 4 inductees are Kraftwerk and Gil Scott-Heron in the early influences category, and one of my favorites, Billy Preston and Randy Rhoads in the musical excellence category. So I'm going to do a lot of baseball
analogies.
Analogies,
terms,
that's the word.
Comparisons.
So, Mark, let's get rolling. Who's on first?
Okay. Well, every so often, Jim, a rock guitarist comes along and makes an evolutionary leap in terms of style, technique, and influence. I think we can all agree that Jimi Hendrix was one of the most profound examples. Then came the arrival of Eddie Van Halen, the late Eddie Van Halen, who popularized shredding and that two-handed tapping technique. But then came a slightly built young man named Randy Rhoads. And as a student of classical guitar, he pioneered a high-speed style all his own.
Well, Randy was born in 1956 in Santa Monica, California, and while still in his teens, he co-founded the LA band Quiet Riot in 75. He also taught guitar on the side, which he said taught him a lot of patience. Unfortunately, Quiet Riot achieved limited success, and Rhoads felt like he was treading water.
But then fate came calling. In 1979, Ozzy Osbourne was fired from Black Sabbath. And although Randy Rhoads was not a Sabbath fan, his mother, who was actually a music teacher, she encouraged him to audition for Ozzy's new band. At the audition, Ozzy was rather out of it, and he thought Randy was a girl. But the resulting union was really a musical match made in heaven.
Well, in a lot of ways, Randy was a lot like Jimi Hendrix. He lived and breathed his guitar, and he was always practicing. You know, Eddie Van Halen was the same way. He was somewhat shy and gentle. And with the release of the 1980 album Blizzard of Oz and 1981's Diary of a Madman by Ozzy, Randy redefined the instrument. He jump-started modern metal with his neoclassical arrangements and radio-friendly guitar hooks.
Yeah, and songs like Crazy Train, Mr. Crowley, and Flying High became instant metal rock classics. And while I'm aware that everyone in the civilized world loves the song Crazy Train, I feel it's been played to death. So I've chosen another song, one of my favorites. So here's Randy Rhoads and Ozzy Osbourne on the song Flying High off the 1981 album Diary of a Madman.
Yeah.
In 1987, a live Osborne Rhodes tribute album was released based on material recorded in 81. And we were further reminded of this young man's remarkable talent.
And speaking of remarkable talent, we're going to talk about Carole King. Carole, along with her husband, Jerry Goffin, they began as songwriters in the late 50s and into the late 60s. Together, they wrote such classics as The Locomotion by Little Eva, You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman by Aretha Franklin, and Up on the Roof by The Drifters, one of my favorite songs. Along with her former husband, Carole was first inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1990 in the songwriter category. But this year, she is entering as a performer. Her body of work is among the best in rock and roll history. By the late 60s and early 70s, she had a stable of songs written, and rather than have others perform them, she decided she was going to perform them, and it was a good choice. Her first album, Writer, did not fare well. With the help of famed producer Lou Adler, her next album would go down as one of the best of all time. And you know the name of that album, Mark?
Who doesn't?
Tapestry.
Yeah, it was coming out of every dorm room that I
That's right.
at school.
Tapestry brought Carole to the forefront of rock and roll royalty. It was number one on the Billboard charts for, 15 consecutive weeks, I think, and remained on the Billboard 200 for an astonishing 6 years. That period was the longest for a solo female artist until Adele broke the record in 2017. She followed Tapestry with more hit albums and sold-out concert tours, and she has received many awards, including honoree of the Kennedy Center, a member of the Songwriters Hall of Fame, and the Library of Congress Gershwin Prize for Popular Song.
Yeah, Jim, and she's the lead company. She's one of the few elected twice to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that's quite an achievement. Her song Jazzman, with lyrics by David Palmer, is from her 1974 album Wraparound Joy, and is one of my favorites. It features saxophonist Tom Scott, who contributes a jazzy solo that makes the song soar.
Lift me, won't you lift me above the old routine? Make it nice, lay it clean, jazz man.
excellent song.
And hey, Mark, here's a fun piece of trivia. Neil Sedaka dated Carole King in high school, and he wrote the song "Oh Carole" as a remembrance of their teen years together. Mark, next up is one of my favorite artists. Who'd that be?
Well, that'd be Mr. Todd Rundgren. But first, we must take care of some business and tell our listeners that they are listening to that classic rock show on Huntley Community Radio, 101.5 FM, and on demand 24/7 from anywhere in the world where there is an internet connection. All right, let's get on to Todd. He is among rock's most unusual, intelligent, and gifted musicians, and he certainly is one of its most mystifying. He has carved out an impressive musical legacy over 6 decades in the business. And get this, Jim, and I didn't even know this until I checked it out. He's been a band leader, solo artist, songwriter, vocalist, guitarist, multi-instrumentalist, studio recording wizard, and multimedia electronics guru. Can you match that?
Yes, I can, but I don't want to brag. That's all true, Mark, but Todd has always done things his way rather than the commercially successful way. But he found these pop songs to be a little unsatisfying.
Okay, well, his first band was Naz. They played British Invasion-style garage and psychedelic pop from 67 through 69. That's 1967, by the way. His next stop was Greenwich Village, where he met legendary Bob Dylan manager Albert Grossman. Grossman hired him as a house producer and engineer at Bearsville Records, and his reputation grew, and pretty soon he was recording and producing famous acts across several genres of music.
Next came the band Runt, which was also his nickname, a project that made it possible for Todd to record music on his own terms. He then moved on to full-blown solo career. Also, the Changeling, he then formed the band Utopia, a progressive rock outfit that allowed him to reestablish his rock guitar chops. His influences were the bands Yes and the Mahavishnu Orchestra.
Well, it's time to play one of his songs, and while one segment of his fan base might prefer that we play a song from his band Utopia, you can't argue with the hordes who adore his pop masterpieces. So let's play the song I Saw the Light off the 1972 album Something/Anything.
I knew that
All right, Jim, let's move on to a woman who is universally respected and whose roller coaster life and career were the subject of a recent HBO documentary titled Tina.
Well, we're obviously talking about Tina Turner, who was born Anna Mae Bullock, and she began her journey to fame with her then-husband Ike Turner. The band's popularity grew, and so did her star appeal. They had so many hits like Proud Mary and Nutbush City Limits, where Tina became the focus of the band. After an abusive relationship with her husband Ike, she fought her way back to the top of the music world. But first, she paid off debts incurred from mounting lawsuits from canceled Ike and Tina concerts. She made a living appearing on such shows as the Hollywood Squares, the Sonny and Cher Show, and the Brady Bunch Hour. Oh boy, Brady Bunch.
I think a lot of people did that.
Yeah. And in 1977, she started singing in Las Vegas cabarets and small venues across the country. Her following grew once again, but unfortunately, the album she released during that period did not sell too well.
Tina was down, but she was not out. Things changed in 1981 when she performed with Rod Stewart at the behest of Saturday Night Live, and she opened for the Rolling Stones in 1981.
So the Queen of Rock and Roll was making a remarkable comeback, but what pushed her to the top was her 1984 album, Private Dancer. That album launched one of the greatest comebacks in music history. Her song, What's Love Got to Do With It, went number one and won the Grammy for Record of the Year. In 1993, a movie by the same name revealed to the world what she had gone through with a husband like Ike. Not a good guy. Private Dancer and future albums contained many more hits and because she never gave up, she earned the respect of fans worldwide and returned to stardom.
Of your hand makes my pulse react. That it's only the thrill of boy meeting girl, opposites attract. It's physical, only logical. You must try to ignore that it means more than. I've got cause to be. There's a name for it. There's a phrase that fits. But whatever the reason, you do it for me. Oh, what's love got to do? It's got to do with it. Oh,
Well, I hope you enjoyed part one. Please stay tuned for part two of the Classic Rock Show, broadcasting on WHRU LP 101.5 FM and on demand 24/7.